We'll do keep that passage open. It'll be really helpful for you to have that in front of you as we go through. You can see what we're where we're looking at. And why don't I pray as we begin? Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word, the Bible. We thank you that you speak to us through it even now. And we pray that as we look at this passage, that you would help us to hear what you are saying, to know and understand what is going on, and to know how we should respond. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what's the best deal you have ever got? I always think it feels good when you think you've got a good deal on something. Perhaps when you've gone to the shops and perhaps during the sales or whenever, and you've got a pair of shoes or something to wear for half price, or even better, or when you bought something that turned out to be better than you were expecting. It lasted longer and turned out to be really good value for money. Or perhaps the other way around, you're trying to sell something or swap something and you get more in exchange than you expected. It feels good to get a good deal. The passage that we're looking at today is about getting a good deal. It's about the best deal that we could ever be offered, which is to be invited to follow Jesus. And we're going to see what it means to follow Jesus and why it is such a good deal. We see at the beginning of this passage that Jesus' disciples have not really understood what he's about, why he's come, what he's here to do, and what's going on. And then as he explains to them, we're shown first that Jesus comes to die and rise again. And second, that Jesus calls us to follow in his way. This passage comes about halfway through Mark's gospel. So far, Mark has recorded a number of the things that Jesus has said and done, the things that he's taught, the miracles that he's performed. We've seen more of that as we've worked all the way through the book over the last few weeks, not least the peak when Jesus dies on the cross and is raised again from the dead. It's at this point in chapter 8 that Jesus asks a very reasonable question of his disciples. He says to them, have a look there in verse 27. He says, who do people say I am? He's saying, with all the people have heard about me and seen of me, with all the evidence that they've seen and heard, who do people say that I am? Who or what do people think that Jesus is? And the answers that the disciples give are quite varied. Have a look at verse 28. Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. So Jesus gets personal with them. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? You who are closest to me, you who've heard me speak personally, who've seen the things that I've done, and who know me the best, who do you say that I am? Peter gives his answer, and it's very simple, and it's also deeply profound. He says, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are God's chosen King, sent from God to save us. Peter sees that Jesus is more than just an ordinary man. He's more than just a special man, more than a prophet or any of the others. He is the one true King. He is God's chosen King. He is God himself come down to earth. Perhaps you agree with Peter. Perhaps you have seen enough and heard enough of Jesus to see that he is the Messiah. Perhaps you need to see more. Either way, the next step and the purpose for this passage is to see what it means to know that Jesus is the Messiah, to recognize that he is the King, and what it means to follow him. As profound as Peter's conclusion is about who Jesus is, it's incomplete. Jesus goes on to tell his disciples not to tell anyone about him. There's something missing from their understanding of Jesus and who he is. It's not ready for publication yet until they've understood more completely. The first part that is missing, that they've not quite got, the first part of to understanding what it means to follow Jesus is to understand his mission. To understand that Jesus comes to die and rise again. That's what Jesus goes on to explain. After Peter's declaration of who Jesus is, Jesus starts to fill in the gaps in his understanding. Have a look there at verse 31. He, that's Jesus, then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. This is quite a change of tone from recognizing that Jesus is God's chosen king who has come to save. Jesus says God's chosen king has come to suffer, to be rejected by the religious authorities and to die and then to rise again. He refers to himself as the Son of Man. It's another title for the Christ or the Messiah, God's chosen king. In the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, the Son of Man is a title that's described as a person who's described as being given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshipped him. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. That is the kind of figure that you would expect God's Messiah to be. But Jesus is saying that that same person will be rejected instead of worshipped, that he will be killed. How then can his kingdom last forever? No wonder Peter finds this hard to listen to. In verse 32, it says Jesus spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. You can imagine his thinking, come on, Jesus, what are you saying? We agree that you are the chosen one from God, his anointed, special, forever king. We're all excited about what you're going to do, how you're going to establish your kingdom, defeat your enemies, and save your people. But you're talking about losing. You're talking about dying. Come on, let's have less of the negativity. You're upsetting the guys. Jesus, however, is not one to be rebuked, and he sticks to his guns. It says, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Peter thinks that the idea of Jesus achieving what he's come to do, saving his people and establishing his kingdom by dying, is contradiction. You can't have both. You can't be God's chosen king and be rejected and die. The two don't go together. But Jesus is very clear that they do go together, and to deny that is a big mistake. He says that Peter is thinking about things in a worldly way rather than in God's way. He's thinking that Jesus will be king like any other human king. He's thinking of a king with an army and wealth and power who defeats his enemies and lives in a palace. So when Jesus talks about God's way, the way of rejection and death, that is upside down and back to front as far as Peter can see it. But Jesus is saying that that's the way it must be. The Son of Man, God's chosen king, must suffer and die and rise again. God's way is not what we might expect or choose, but that is a good thing. It is a good thing that Jesus is not the kind of Messiah that Peter or the disciples or anyone else was expecting. It's a good thing that he came to die, because that is how he deals with our sin. Jesus doesn't come as a powerful military or political leader to defeat his enemies. He didn't come to be a good teacher. He didn't come to be an inspiring moral example or just a nice guy from history. He came to save. He came to deal with sin by dying, by defeating death and rising again. Rather than coming to defeat people, Jesus came to save them, to save us. We are the enemies of God because we reject him. We all do. We all turn away from him. We all sin by pushing him out and choosing instead to be the king of our own lives. That's what the Bible calls sin, and that sin needs to be paid for, to be punished. And Jesus came to do just that. He's the king, the Messiah, who gets his hands dirty, who gets down in the gutter with us sinners, with his enemies, and takes the punishment for our sin so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be his friends and his enemies no more. If Jesus did not come to die, then our sin is not paid for, and we still stand to take the fair punishment for it. If Jesus did not come to suffer, to be rejected, to die, and then to rise again, then death has not been defeated. If death has not been defeated, then it is still the inevitable and fair consequence of our sin, of our rejection of God and his way. That is what God is concerned about. That is why Jesus, the Messiah, God's chosen King, came to solve the problem of sin. When Peter is expecting Jesus to be a different kind of Messiah, he's thinking of human concerns, of the world's way of thinking about things. And the world is not naturally concerned with the problem of sin that needs a solution. The idea of a Messiah who comes to die may not fit our idea of what we need in life, but it is actually everything that we need. We need a rescuer who comes with the plan to give up his life, to lay everything down for nothing more than the benefit of others, for the benefit of us. We need a rescuer who prefers pain and humiliation to comfort and worldly glory, who defeats death and rises again to live forever as God's chosen King. That is the kind of Messiah that we need Jesus to be, the one that we need to believe in, to trust in, to align ourselves with and to follow. So that was the first part that was missing from the understanding of from the disciples' understanding of Jesus' mission and what he's all about, what kind of Messiah he is. We've seen that he has come to die and rise again. And next, the second part that they did not grasp was that Jesus calls us to follow in his way. As we reach verse 34, Jesus has been talking to his group of disciples, but now he turns and he addresses everyone. It says there, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Jesus deliberately includes everyone in this invitation. The invitation to follow him is not just for his disciples, not just for those who already follow him. It is for everyone. Jesus says that anyone can be his disciple, whoever wants to be my disciple. There's not one particular kind of person that follows Jesus. There's no membership criteria that you have to meet beforehand. Whoever wants to accept the forgiveness and eternal life that he offers by his death on the cross and his resurrection is welcome. Whoever sees that he is the Messiah, that he is God come to earth to save sinners, is invited to follow him. But while the invitation is open to all, the call is the same for everyone. All those who want to follow Jesus to eternal life must be prepared to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. This means that if we're to follow after Jesus, that means that we follow in the way that he has led. He came down to save by laying down his life, by denying himself, denying what he might want for himself, and giving up everything in order to save others, to save us. That is the kind of Messiah that he is. And so it makes sense that those who would follow him can expect to taste something similar. Something similar, that is, but not the same. When Jesus says, "Take up your cross," he's not expecting the same of us, expecting us to do the same as he has done. When he took up his cross, he took up the sin of the whole world. He suffered and he died as a punishment for the sins of others. That's not something that we could ever do, even if it needed to be done anymore. Sin has already been paid for. Death is already beaten. Jesus is not calling us to pay the price for our own sin or anyone else's. What he's getting at is that a life spent following him is a life that will involve hardship, It will involve cost. It is a life that will require us to give up things that we would like for ourselves and to take up burdens that we would perhaps prefer not to. It's a life that requires us to deny ourselves and to take up a cross, and that means to say, not me first, Jesus first instead. Just like Peter's reaction to Jesus' description of his mission, that he's that news is probably not what we would prefer to hear. But just as before, it is good news. The news that following Jesus means denying ourselves, means laying down our lives as he did, is a good thing. It's a great thing because it's a fair and worthwhile exchange. See what Jesus says there in verse 35. He says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. Denying ourselves in return for eternal life is a great deal. It's the best deal that we can ever hope for. Jesus is saying, whoever is willing to say Jesus first, not me, in this life will gain life forever with him. But if we cling to control, saying me first, not Jesus, then we're clinging to our sinful rebellion against God, and that leads only to death. If we look a little further on into the next verse or two, he goes on in verse 36, says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? We cannot save ourselves. There is nothing that we can trade, nothing that we can do which pays the price for our sin. No matter how hard we cling to control over our life, we cannot escape death. The deal on the table is our best and only option. Put Jesus first, not me. Let Jesus be the king over my life. Let him call the shots. Be prepared to count the cost of following him. Be prepared to be made fun of, to be rejected for following him. Be prepared to put me and my interests in second place, to serve and follow him as my first priority. And in exchange, receive eternal life forever as friends with him. Know peace with God and live forever. There was an American missionary a long time ago called Jim Elliot, you may have heard of him, who described what a good deal that was, and he put it rather well. He left his home and he travelled a long way to tell people about Jesus and what he had done for them. And he suffered for it. He was rejected by some of those that he was trying to help, and in the end he was killed by them. But before he died, he said this. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. If someone gives up control over their life, something which they cannot hold on to forever, and exchanges it for eternal life and friendship with Jesus, something that can never be taken away, that is a good deal. It is the best deal ever. Now, Jesus is inviting you to take that deal. He's inviting you to accept that deal, to come and deny yourself, to take up your cross and to follow him, to exchange your life now for eternal life. Perhaps you have never taken him up on that, never accepted that invitation. If that's something that you would like to do now, then I will pray a prayer in a moment. And if you would like to, then you can pray along with me. If you're not ready to do that yet, then just reflect on the words that I pray and think to yourself, what would it take for you to make those words your own? What would it take to get you from where you are now to a point where you want to follow Jesus and to lay down your life for him? And while you think about that, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus. Thank you that he came not for an easy life, but to die on the cross for me. Thank you that he paid the penalty for my sins and rose again so that I can have eternal life. Please forgive me for all the ways that I reject you and put myself first. Please help me from now on to put Jesus first in everything and live my life for him. Amen. If that's the prayer that you've prayed perhaps for the first time, then we would love to hear from you. Please do get in touch so that we can support and encourage you as you live for Jesus. If you are already following Jesus, then that prayer doesn't get old. We need it again and again to commit ourselves again and again to putting Jesus first and asking him to forgive us when we don't. That's why we pray a prayer much like it every week, a prayer of confession in every service, because we need to keep coming back to him and keep choosing to put him first. So keep praying it, keep following Jesus in his way. We're going to have another song now, and this next song is a great reflection on that decision to follow Jesus, to put him first, and to offer our lives to him.